and a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite app, wherever you listen to those shows, and keep up to date with a new program each and every weekday morning. Well, an electric night last night in Washington, D.C., as President Donald Trump addressed a joint session of Congress, not officially called a State of the Union, but for all intents and purposes, everything that President Trump has done over just the last 6 weeks, for all intents and purposes, it was a State of the Union. And if you didn't have a chance to watch it, it ran a little over 90 minutes. And the president, laid out what he has accomplished in the last 6 weeks and what he looks to accomplish in the remainder of his term. And it's remarkable. I find myself, you think about everything that's been done in just a relatively short amount of time, and you wonder what the next couple of years are to hold. And can the president and will he keep up with this pace of getting things done and delivering on his promises to the American people? And I'll just start with this before we get into some of the president's comments. I've got a plethora of clips this morning to get into. Regardless of whether you like Trump or not, I would find it to be, you'd be pretty hard pressed to argue that he is not delivering on his campaign promises. Now, I'm not saying you agree with the promises. I'm not saying the promises are what you want to see for the country if you're abject to what President Trump stands for in the agenda of the GOP. But you can't argue he's not keeping up with his promises. I mean, if you want to say that, you're just lying to yourself, I guess. You're living in some sort of alternate reality, alternate universe, where you believe those things aren't happening. But he is delivering, again, regardless of whether you agree or not. So let's just listen into the few minutes of the opening remarks from President Trump as he addressed this joint session of Congress last night in Washington, D.C.
6 weeks ago, I stood beneath the dome of this Capitol and proclaimed the dawn of the golden age of America. From that moment on, it has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country. We have accomplished more in 43 days than most administrations accomplished in 4 years or 8 years, and we are just getting started. I return to this chamber tonight to report that America's momentum is back, our spirit is back, our pride is back, our confidence is back, and the American dream is surging bigger and better than ever before.
You know, one of the things I'll note from last night, a high level of confidence from the president.
The dream is unstoppable, and our country is on the verge of a comeback, the likes of which the world has never witnessed and perhaps will never witness again. It's never been anything like it.
Incredibly high levels of confidence and optimism from President Trump.
The presidential election of November 5th was a mandate like has not been seen in many decades. We won all 7 swing states, giving us an electoral college victory of 312 votes.
You heard some of the boos there from the Democrats in the crowd as they, I guess, are living in some sort of fairy tale land where Trump didn't have a massive election victory back in November. It doesn't make any sense.
We won the popular vote by big numbers and won counties in our country.
I mean, listen to this. I mean, the Democrats are just truly living in, I think the accurate term to describe this is living in an alternate reality at this point, where they want to bury their head in the sand and ignore what happened in November. They just want to write it all off and put their blame on somebody or something else, I guess. And this ties in very quickly. We'll get, of course, we'll get back to Trump's comments from last night. But before we get into that, I want to play you a clip from The View. And I know The View is one of the worst programs on network television. They are completely on the wrong side of history, and their opinions do not line up with the vast majority of the American people. But I caught this clip yesterday afternoon. Stephen A. Smith, he's a very popular figure over on ESPN, and has kind of trended into some more political stuff over the last couple of years. He's a frequent guest on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News. He dabbles in political stuff. He's a very influential figure in media, I'll say. It started in sports, but he's begun transitioning into some more political stuff. And so he was a guest on The View. I think this was yesterday morning. He was a guest on The View. And of course, the women of The View, they're, you know, with their multi-million dollar salaries to sit up on stage and talk about how much they connect with the American people, even though they know nothing about being a regular, everyday, normal American, can't relate to the American public at all. They continue down this same diatribe that you heard from the boos and the jeering from Democrats in this joint session of Congress last night. Take a listen to this clip and watch Stephen A. Smith absolutely smack down the ladies of The View when they went down to this same trail that Democrats have over the last couple of months. Get a listen to this.
It's only been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, mm-hmm. one of the smallest ever,
mm-hmm.
and he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this really?
So before we get into Stephen A's comments, maybe I need to lay this out for our Democrat listeners. Just I'll slow it down for you. Presidential elections are not won, at least from the Electoral College standpoint. They are not won by millions of votes. They are won by hundreds of thousands, if not less, in terms of the votes in the swing states. The popular vote is irrelevant. We don't elect our president based on a popular vote. Now, Trump won that for Republicans for the first time since 2004, I'll remind you. 20 years of last year's election. 20 years. But Electoral College victories don't happen by the land. I guess Joy Behar, who believes that a president wins an Electoral College landslide victory by millions of votes, that just doesn't happen. Our system is not set up by that. So they use this tactic to try and dismiss Trump's popularity. They use this tactic to try and quell this idea that there isn't a mandate in America right now. Listen to Stephen A. Smith's reaction to this. He did a phenomenal job laying it out, and it's very interesting. You can the crowd of The View is so far left, they don't say anything while Stephen A. is talking. Take a listen to this.
It is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate. We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans hadn't won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004. Yeah. But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won a popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it, 89% of the counties shifted gears. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
Well, it's a different definition of a mandate, I guess.
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3% and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should continue
up.
To do that.
Do you
no,
think that those
don't continue to do it. Find a new strategy.
Boy, oh boy. Boy, Stephen A. laying down the hammer for the ladies of The View. And he perfectly and fully admits, I'm no supporter of Trump. It's obvious that he's not. But what Stephen A. is obviously objective in regards to him being able to look at politics. And what he said there at the end cannot be dismissed. Democrats want to try and play around with all of these numbers. And you heard Joy Behar lay it out. He only won by this. He only won by that. It's a cover for them to continue down their same path. And this is what will be the demise of the Democrat Party. If they don't wake up and get back to some semblance of normalcy and stop pandering to these very small groups within the Democrat Party, they're screwed, plain and simple. Their ideas are not popular. The things that they stand for are not popular. And it doesn't resonate with the American public. But Democrats, for whatever reason, and as I always state with this, I'm okay with them doing this because it will mean that they will not surge to power. It means they will not have victories at the ballot box. But if they continue down this path, as Stephen A. notes out, just this excuse, this blanket coverage of, we did everything fine. Everything worked out in our favor. We didn't have any issues. We, you know, only lost by a little bit. This is not a good strategy forward for the left. And so when you have Democrats last night booing Trump over claiming he won 7 swing states, won the popular vote, massive victory in the Electoral College, they, I guess, just want to live in what I'll call an alternate universe. They are living an alternate reality where they believe that their candidate in Kamala Harris was a perfect candidate. Their ideas, their policy platforms were perfect and spot on. And so I presume they believe they can just take that same 2024 strategy, the approach, the policies, the ideas, the candidates, run them again, and things will be different. You, of course, know the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same result. And it appears the Democrats are playing in that camp right now. They want to continue with these very unpopular policy platforms and, I guess, just assume that the American public is going to change their thoughts. It's not a winning strategy. I'm okay with it, but Stephen A. Smith laid down the law for the ladies of The View and their ridiculous liberal viewership. And hopefully some of them wake up and realize, oh yeah, this is not good. This is going to be a problem for us going forward. We're going to have to figure out and make some drastic changes or we're going to continue to lose. But who knows? Maybe not. More from President Trump last night in his joint address.
Counties in our country, 2,700 to 525, on a map that reads almost completely red for Republican. Now, for the first time in modern history, more Americans believe that our country is headed in the right direction than the wrong direction. In fact, it's an astonishing record, 27-point swing, the most ever.
And it is. I mean, it was a massive swing from an electoral standpoint. I mean, the voters that Trump picked up is unheard of for Republican candidates.
Likewise, small business optimism saw its single largest one-month gain ever recorded, a 41-point jump.
Members are directed to uphold and maintain decorum in the House and to cease any further disruptions. That's your warning. Members are engaging in willful and continuing breach of decorum, and the chair is prepared to direct the sergeant-at-arms to restore order to the joint session. Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat, sir. Take your seat. Finding that members continue to engage in willful and concerted disruption of proper decorum, the chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
And I leave, I was listening to this last night, and I can only ask, what the hell are the Democrats thinking? I mean, I am failing to wrap my head around, and I think I have a pretty good grasp on politics. I make sure that I follow, I keep a track with what's being said on both sides. I watch shows like The View, I watch CNN, I watch MSNBC. I like to keep track with what's going on the other side of the aisle. And I cannot for a second wrap my head around what Democrats were thinking last night.
Uphold and maintain decorum in the House. Mr. President, you continue.
So we'll get back to President Trump's comments here in just a second. This cannot be understated. You have got a party that just got taken to the cleaners in regards to the election in November of last year. Their big ticket issues, one of the big ones was the transgender sport issue. That has been dismantled and destroyed within just days of the new administration. That whole idea, this policy of allowing men to participate in young female athletes' sporting events is so unbelievably unpopular, but it was a big Democrat wish list item. They had years to figure out how to convince the American people that they were on the right side of history with that issue. They failed to do so, and within one day, one executive order from President Trump, he completely sucked the oxygen out of the room and changed the narrative completely. Turned it upside down on its head on an issue that in fact is an 80-20 issue. 80% of the American public, regardless of political makeup and party background, believe that it is inappropriate to allow biological men to participate in female sports. Yet Democrats think that's a winning message and winning issue for them. And this display last night, and I don't have an issue with them booing President Trump. I don't have an issue with them jeering when he says things they disagree with. It's politics. It's showmanship. It's a political theater. It's a political game. I don't take any offense. I'm not upset. I'm not triggered about the Democrats booing. I think they should. But when you've got Al Green with his stupid cane standing up and pointing at the president, and what did you hear from him? I don't know if it came across in the clip. It's not a mandate. I guess Democrats are going to die on this hill. They are going to die on the hill of convincing themselves that President Trump and the Republicans don't have a mandate. It's so short-sighted. It's so unbelievably stupid. But I guess they're going to continue with it. I guess maybe some internal polling within the Democrat Party shows that that's working. I doubt it. I doubt there's any evidence to back up those claims or back up those concepts at all. But it's now the recurring thread that you're hearing from the Democrat Party. Trump has been incredibly effective in his first 6 weeks in office. Between the executive orders, between just the general attitude and the agenda that he is setting and the impact that that is having both in the private and public sector, instead of challenging the issues, instead of going to the American public and saying, hey guys, our ideas are better. What Trump and what the Republicans are saying is no good. We have the better solutions. Instead of doing that, they're going to argue over whether Trump's election victory was a mandate. Incredibly short-sighted, incredibly stupid, and I believe politically detrimental to the Democrat Party. And so kind of skipping and moving throughout the speech last night, all of my clips are not in order. Talking about the men and women's sports issue. A individual from North Carolina by the name of Peyton McNabb, who, if you'll remember back a couple of years ago, 2022, she joined me on the radio show. She's a high school student in the western half of North Carolina at the time and was severely injured by a male pretending to be a woman in a sporting event. This was Peyton McNabb being recognized last night. Take a listen to this.
3 years ago, Peyton McNabb was an all-star high school athlete, one of the best, preparing for a future in college sports. But when her girls' volleyball match was invaded by a male, he smashed the ball so hard in Peyton's face, causing traumatic brain injury, partially paralyzing her right side and ending her athletic career. It was a shot like she's never seen before. She's never seen anything like it. Peyton is here tonight in the gallery, and Peyton, from now on, schools will kick the men off the girls' team, or they will lose all federal funding.
I mean, what I just, again, I ask you the question that I just asked earlier. What are the Democrats thinking? What do they believe is going to happen here? They just think all of these issues that are incredibly unpopular with the American public are going to just swing with the snap of a finger? All of this stuff is just going to magically flip around? All of a sudden, their radical, ridiculous ideas are going to become the favor, the popular thing within the American populace. It's actually going to have quite the contrary reaction. As Trump continues, it's only been 6 weeks. As he continues over the next couple of years, as he continues to drive the message, as he continues to drive this narrative, the golden age of America, as he continues to do that, their ideas will become even less and less popular. I'm not giving them political advice. I'm not a Democrat political consultant, thank God. They have got a serious issue within their party right now. You have a speech last night from President Trump that broke across party lines, that broke the political aisle, talking about and discussing the issues that are relevant and important to the American people. As Al Green was screaming and wagging his cane about how Trump's an illegitimate president and it's not a mandate, Trump was talking about, and this was only a couple of minutes in, but Trump was talking about optimism. Trump was talking about restoring America. He's talking about small business when Al Green cut him off. And so I guess those are things that Democrats are in now in contrast of. More from the opening remarks from the president.
Over the past 6 weeks, I have signed nearly 100 executive orders and taken more than 400 executive actions, a record, to restore common sense, safety, optimism, and wealth all across our wonderful land. The people elected me to do the job, and I'm doing it. In fact, it has been stated by many that the first month of our presidency, it's our presidency, is the most successful in the history of our nation. By many.
And it's really hard to argue that when you look at everything that's been done, right? Oh, just over the last 6 weeks or so.
And what makes it even more impressive is that, do you know who number two is? George Washington. How about that? How about that? I don't know about that list, but we'll take it. Within hours of taking the oath of office, I declared a national emergency on our southern border, and I deployed the U.S. military and Border Patrol to repel the invasion of our country. And what a job they've done. As a result, illegal border crossings last month were by far the lowest ever recorded, ever.
And again, you look at political polling going back to the election. What were some of the two main issues that were on the top of voters' minds? It was the economy and border security. And so, once again, a promise made by Trump.
And they chose not to come. Much easier that way. In comparison, under Joe Biden, the worst president in American history, There were hundreds of thousands of illegal crossings a month, and virtually all of them, including murderers, drug dealers, gang members, and people from mental institutions and insane asylums, were released into our country. Who would want to do that? This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way.
And the president's right about that. You know, it's so funny. You always hear from the Democrats about unity and we need to bring the country together. And of course, as typical Democrat fashion, that means that Republicans are the ones that need to, you know, come together and agree on a similar message. They never have the opportunity to. They never want to, as the president laid out. I could do all of these great things and I will do a lot of these great things. And the Democrats won't be happy about it. They wouldn't even stand last night for a 13-year-old boy who's a cancer survivor. They would not stand for the families that have lost husbands, wives, daughters, sons at the hands of their disastrous border policies that raked in unbelievable amounts of illegal immigration. Democrats just wouldn't even stand for that. 13-year-old boy, cancer survivor, Democrats won't stand for it. Why? Because the words came out of Trump's mouth. Yet they're the ones that want to talk about political unity. They're the ones that want to talk about America coming together for the greater good. Maybe they need to practice what they preach a little bit more. Instead of wagging their cane at the president and closing their eyes, burying their head in the sand, and pretending like the November election didn't happen. Maybe that's not the greatest approach to take. Beth is commenting this morning on X. She says, Democrats are disgraceful. No respect. Yeah, that was blatantly obvious last night, unfortunately. No respect at all. Holding up their stupid little signs about Medicaid, don't get rid of my Medicaid, and Trump's a liar. It's so weak. This is the same rehashing of everything from the first administration from them. They have no substance. They have no issues they can tackle. So they have these stupid, ridiculous chants that they come up with, all of these stupid, you know, speeches and holding up signs and rallying with groups. It just doesn't work. People are looking for change. People are looking for a difference in what they saw over the last 4 years, which was weak, absent, useless leadership over a variety of issues. Trump is giving them that. Democrats can't wrap their head around it. Democrats don't want to wrap their head around it. And it's going to be a big problem for them. I've got a lot more from Trump's address last night, including some details on Ukraine, the Department of Government Efficiency, and more as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this Wednesday morning. I do want to keep you up to date with the weather situation we are going to be dealing with today across the state of North Carolina, specifically honing in on eastern North Carolina. Here is the latest forecast or the latest risk map coming out from the Storm Prediction Center out of Norman, Oklahoma. They've got their third category here, an enhanced risk of showers and storms throughout the day today. The line already this morning is making its way towards the Charlotte area. You can see it coming in on the Charlotte area. There's actually a believe this is a tornado warning in South Carolina, just over the border in the Chester area right now. This line is moving its way towards the central part of our state this morning. It will make its way east, and we are expecting some of these showers and storms to move in to portions of southeastern North Carolina around lunchtime, and those showers and storms will be out of the area as we head into 4 or 5 o'clock. Things should move out, but this line already this morning causing some severe thunderstorm warnings as we head down towards Columbia, South Carolina, and a tornado warning right on the north South Carolina border, south of Rock Hill and into the Chester, South Carolina area. So be advised if you are going to be out and about today that the weather is going to be less than ideal, at least for a chunk of the day. Fortunately, it's just one line. It will move through pretty quickly, but we are going to be dealing, regardless of whether there's any tornado warnings or not, some very gusty winds, some very heavy rainfall. So be advised across the eastern half of North Carolina today, and make sure you have a way to get those weather alerts and warnings throughout your Wednesday. On the other side, again, we will dive into more details from President Trump's address yesterday to a joint session of Congress, Department of Government Efficiency, Ukraine, and more as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Wednesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can support the show and get exclusive access to bonus content and daily show notes by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. $5-$10 a month. You can set a custom amount as well if you believe you are getting some value from the show. I encourage you to head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig and support the endeavor. patreon.com/Nick Craig. Greatly appreciate everybody who has come aboard over the last month or so, or almost 2 months at this point, supporting the program and helping put it on the air every morning, cover some of the costs and the expenses associated with it. Greatly appreciated over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So again, big news this morning, of course, everything out of Washington, D.C., as President Trump addressed this joint session of Congress last night, not a State of the Union, however, very similar to that. And for a president that has only been in office 6 weeks, an incredible amount of accomplishments to deal with last night. One of the big issues you already heard him talk about was the border. And that, of course, is something that I believe had a strong impact on his election victory in November. The other big issue, the economy. Tariffs have been in the news over the last couple of days, and the president had some comments, well, about those tariffs. Take a listen.
April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in, and whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them. If they do non-monetary tariffs to keep us out of their market, then we will do non-monetary barriers to keep them out of our market. There's a lot of that, too. They don't even allow us in their market. We will take in trillions and trillions of dollars and create jobs like we have never seen before. I did it with China, and I did it with others, and the Biden administration couldn't do anything about it because there was so much money, they couldn't do anything about it. We have been ripped off for decades by nearly every country on Earth, and we will not let that happen any longer.
And the president, you know, talking about those tariffs, it's been discussed a lot. We talked about it yesterday morning. We're not going to get into the tariff debate and back and forth again today. It will, of course, come up in the weeks and months to come. But the president strongly feels, and he's not inaccurate about it, that the United States is being ripped off in regards to international trade, and he wants to make a change. And he's using these tariffs in some cases as a bargaining chip, as a bargaining agreement to get countries to renegotiate the deals that they have in terms of their imports and exports and the fees in which they charge, if they even allow U.S. goods to be imported. And he went through and talked about some of those examples last night. So big update there on the economy, and that's something that every single American is going to be keeping an eye on and keeping track of, because it will have an impact on your dollar. There's no question about it. Then, of course, Ukraine came to the equation last night. That blow-up happened on Friday in the White House with the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky thinking it was a good idea to try and alpha Donald Trump. It backfired royally in his face. He was kicked out of the White House and then had to go on an apology tour through Europe, begging them for more money to fight his stalemate war against Russia. The president commented on Ukraine. We weren't sure whether that was going to come up, but it in fact did. Take a listen.
Received an important letter from President Zelensky of Ukraine. The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians, he said. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts. We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. Regarding the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it at any time that is convenient for you. I appreciate that he sent this letter, just got it a little while ago.
And so it would appear to me then that this mineral rights agreement, that's the first step of this multi-step plan to getting to a ceasefire, getting to a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia, based on the comments there from the president, the letter from Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky talking about his readiness. He's ready to sign the mineral rights deal. He's ready to work forward on a security agreement. And as he said, quote, my team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get peace that lasts. So it would appear if the Trump administration is interested, which I strongly believe they are, that this deal, this agreement is back on. It should have never been in the situation that it was, but nevertheless, it appears that it's back on. And there was an interesting, funny clip last night as Trump was talking about Ukraine, as he was dealing with this issue. He asked the crowd about the war. And do they want it to continue going on? And he, in fact, pointed out the Democrats completely on this, called them out wholeheartedly on wanting to keep this war going, as it's been described, as many of them are, of course, war hawks and never want to see peace. Because peace means that many of them that are skimming off the top through the military-industrial complex, well, the cash flow shuts off. The spigot turns off, and they want nothing to do with that. Here's the president last night.
...of dollars to support Ukraine's defense with no security, with no anything. Do you want to keep it going for another 5 years? Yeah, you would say Pocahontas says yes.
Yeah, she wants it to go. She's clapping. They're all in favor of it. The forever war, continued U.S. involvement. It's kind of lines up perfectly with some of the comments that Trump made on Friday about, does the Ukrainian president actually want peace? It appears now that he's had a chance to clear his head and fall back to reality that he does. But it doesn't surprise me, and it's not shocking to hear that Democrats aren't in favor of peace. So many of them are getting rich off of the war. They don't want peace. They don't care. Trump called them out, and Elizabeth Warren is sitting there clapping. Do you want the war to go on for another 5 years? She's hooting and hollering. Yeah, she's all in favor of it. I thought that was a pretty funny moment from last night. As the president did, of course, throw in some jokes and some jabs here and there. Regardless, again, whether you like the guy or not, it's President Trump. His speaking style, the way in which he communicates, is the same. It's been incredibly consistent. There's really no way to argue on that at all. We then transition into DOGE. The Department of Government Efficiency, something that has was non-existent 8 weeks ago. Now we are at a period of time in which the Doge Department has been digging under the hood of so many elements of the U.S. federal government and has brought so much waste, fraud, and abuse to life. The president gave a shout out to the ex-owner, the founder of Tesla and SpaceX, Elon Musk. This is how it unfolded last night.
I have created the brand new Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. Perhaps you've heard of it. Perhaps. Which is headed by Elon Musk, who is in the gallery tonight.
Democrats hate Elon Musk. They hate Doge. And it's obvious now why that's the case. As this has continued to go on, as more and more details and more information has come to light, well, we're learning that all of these NGOs, these nonprofits, these non-governmental organizations that are talked about by the president, that have been brought forward by Elon Musk and his group, his team that is digging into payment systems and tracking of money, that this was just another opportunity for Democrats, for individuals like Stacey Abrams, which you'll hear about in a minute, to collect tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the U.S. taxpayers under sham nonprofits, sham groups that don't operate, that aren't doing what they're saying they're supposed to be doing, that are just collecting free money from the taxpayer with no accountability, no tracking. It's just a blank check to these groups. The president then touted some of the accomplishments of Elon Musk and talked about some of the waste, fraud, and abuse. And this was a couple minutes where the president went through this, and it's every American needs to listen to this and ask yourself, are these things that are good for America? The dollar figures and what is coming out of this, is this something that is good for the American public as a whole? I'm not going to answer the question for you. You can listen and answer the question yourself. Here's the president last night.
Thank you, Elon. He's working very hard. He didn't need this. He didn't need this. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Everybody here, even this side, appreciates it, I believe. They just don't want to admit that. Just listen to some of the appalling waste we have already identified. $22 billion from HHS to provide free housing and cars for illegal aliens. $45 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion scholarships in Burma. $40 million to improve the social and economic inclusion of sedentary migrants. Nobody knows what that is. $8 million to promote LGBTQI+ in the African nation of Lesotho, which nobody has ever heard of. $60 million for indigenous peoples and Afro-Colombian empowerment in Central America. $60 million. $8 million for making mice transgender. This is real. $32 million for a left-wing propaganda operation in Moldova. $10 million for male circumcision in Mozambique. $20 million for the Arab Sesame Street in the Middle East. It's a program. $20 million for a program. $1.9 billion to recently created Decarbonization of Homes Committee, headed up, and we know she's involved. Just at the last moment, the money was passed over by a woman named Stacey Abrams. Have you ever heard of her? A $3.5 million consulting contract for lavish fish monitoring. $1.5 million for voter confidence in Liberia. $14 million for social cohesion in Mali. $59 million for illegal alien hotel rooms in New York City. He's a real estate developer. He's done very well. $250,000 to increase vegan local climate action innovation in Zambia. $42 million for social and behavior change in Uganda. $14 million for improving public procurement in Serbia. $47 million for improving learning outcomes in Asia. Asia's doing very well with learning. I don't know what we're doing. Should use it ourselves. And $101 million for DEI contracts at the Department of Education, the most ever paid, nothing even like it. Under the Trump administration, all of these scams, and they're far worse, but I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about them. They're so bad. Many more have been found out and exposed and swiftly terminated by a group of very intelligent, mostly young people, headed up by Elon, and we appreciate it. We found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud.
And so you listen to those comments there from the president. He goes through this list, about 3.5 minutes, of all of the waste, and just all the waste that we know of right now. Right? Not all of the waste in totality, because it's only been 6 weeks. There's only been so many hours in the day, so much time to actually go through and deal with this stuff. And so I'm not making a judgment call on it at all. Trump is litigating this issue with the American people, and he's litigating it in a very effective manner. He's litigating it in a way that is resonating with the public. Even as he noted in the clip with Elon Musk that I played before, that even the other side appreciates it. Because as much as Democrats want to act like Trump and Musk are the boogeyman, as much as their cohorts in the media try and promulgate this idea or propagate this idea, the American people know how to cut out waste themselves. Many of them, most of them, I would argue, have had to do so over the last couple of years with the rough status of the U.S. economy, with dealing with inflation and sky-high prices rocketing up. 9.5% inflation in the summer of 2022 under Joe Biden. American people have had to cut costs. And so when the president, he's done a very good job at doing this, as the president continues to talk about this on the public scale, as the president continues to talk about these issues, it's amazing to me that Democrats seemingly just want to die on this hill. These issues for you are not popular. The federal government as a whole is not a popular entity. When we look at the trillions of dollars worth of debt that we are in and the results that we get for the money that we invest, I'll throw that in air quotes, into the federal government, generally, people are unhappy with that. And so the idea that Democrats want to argue this point, the idea that Democrats claim that going into these agencies and cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse is a bad thing, is a very short-sighted political decision. It doesn't make any sense. It's an 80-20 issue for the American people. This is something that when you poll individuals and say, are you okay with waste, fraud, and abuse, irregardless of whether it's in the federal government or not, people say, no, of course not. Nobody likes waste. Nobody likes fraud unless you're the fraudster himself. And nobody likes abuse. Trump has done a masterful job at bringing this discussion to the forefront, shining a light on it, and getting the American people on his side, which really is not his side. It's the side of our country. It's the side of having a prosperous nation in the future. Because without getting our budget in check, without getting our uncontrollable spending dealt with, brought back in, and seriously analyzed, and when I say seriously analyzed, I mean it. I mean, we've got to dig deep and get these things dealt with, get this stuff figured out. Without that happening, it is going to be incredibly tough for us to have a prosperous nation going forward. There's just no other way around it. We have buried ourselves in debt. We have decided that we are going to continue to borrow against our future with seemingly no path on how to deal with this stuff in the long term. We are making short-sighted decisions with complete and total disregard to how this is going to affect the future of our economy. We're over-leveraged. It's a terrible economic position that we're in right now. It's just absolutely terrible. And for Democrats, they just want to continue. They think it's okay. They think it's good, I guess. And I guess if you're Stacey Abrams and you're making all this money off the federal government with your nonprofit scams in Georgia, I guess you are okay with that. I guess that's a good thing for you because you're getting rich. So Trump needs to continue to litigate this. Trump needs to continue to bring this to the public because it's a winning issue. It's a winning message. People are not in favor of waste, fraud, and abuse, irregardless of Democrats in their purple or their pink shirts last night holding up their little signs that says Trump is a liar, irregardless of what they think. It's a popular issue that works for the American people. I would encourage you to check out the entire 90 minutes of it. It's long, but I would encourage you to check it out. And so moving off of some of those bigger policy issues, the president, as is accustomed in these kinds of events, normally the State of the Union, this just a joint address to Congress, the president has guests. We already saw Peyton McNabb, the Western North Carolina high school student that was severely injured by a male pretending to be a woman during a volleyball match back in 2022. And so the president had other guests in attendance talking about some other major issues, including the likes of illegal immigration. Take a listen.
Alexis, I promised that we would always remember your daughter, your magnificent daughter. And earlier tonight, I signed an order keeping my word to you. One thing I have learned about Jocelyn is that she loved animals so much. She loved nature. Across Galveston Bay from where Jocelyn lived in Houston, you will find a magnificent national wildlife refuge, a pristine, peaceful, 34,000-acre sanctuary for all of God's creatures on the edge of the Gulf of America. Alexis, moments ago, I formally renamed that refuge in loving memory of your beautiful daughter, Jocelyn. So, Mr. Vice President, if you would, may I have the order?
And lo and behold, Democrats, well, they didn't stand for it. Because why would they? They're in direct opposition of everything that President Trump supports. They want to argue these issues in the public, these very unpopular, radical ideas. They just refused to stand. This was a very, very poor performance from the Democrats last night. Let's go to another issue that Democrats seemingly are not in favor of. A widow of a law enforcement officer who was murdered in cold blood. This is what the president had to say about that.
Stephanie, we're going to make sure that Ryan knows his dad was a true hero, New York's finest, and we're going to get these cold-blooded killers and repeat offenders off our streets, and we're going to do it fast. Got to stop it. They get out with 28 arrests. They push people into subway trains. They hit people over the head, back of the head with baseball bats. We got to get them out of here. I've already signed an executive order requiring a mandatory death penalty for anyone who murders a police officer. And tonight I'm asking Congress to pass that policy into permanent law.
I know you're going to be shocked with the next words out of my mouth, but look at the Democrats. They're not standing. They're not in favor of it.
Ryan knows his dad was.
They're not in favor of it. They are, I guess, okay with the individuals, regardless of their immigration status in the country, murdering law enforcement. And they're not in favor of those individuals being held accountable. They're not in favor of that stuff going forward. I guess they believe it's an okay thing for those things to take place. They believe that that is somehow a good idea, that that is going to bring them great favor in the future. And not only that, if that wasn't bad enough for you, how about Democrats not standing for a 13-year-old boy who was diagnosed with brain cancer? This is really the icing on the cake for what was an abysmal, disgraceful, poor performance from the Democrats last night. They are so deranged in their hatred for Donald Trump and the Republicans, they can't even stand for a 13-year-old boy that has survived brain cancer. President Trump highlighted him and his father in the crowd last night and a really special award at the end. Take a listen to this. Really, really heartfelt moment here during last night's address.
But in 2018, DJ was diagnosed with brain cancer. The doctors gave him 5 months at most to live. That was more than 6 years ago.
Look at them. They're not standing. They're sitting. They can't stand for a 13-year-old boy who survived brain cancer? What the hell is wrong with the Democrat Party?
Since that time, DJ and his dad have been on a quest to make his dream come true, and DJ has been sworn in as an honorary law enforcement officer, actually a number of times. Peace. The police love him. The police departments love him. And tonight, DJ, we're going to do you the biggest honor of them all. I am asking our new Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, to officially make you an agent of the United States Secret Service.
Can you imagine being so deranged in your political ideology that you can't stand and give a standing ovation to a 13-year-old boy who was diagnosed, battled back, and fought off brain cancer? And tell me that you're on the right side of history? Tell me that what you stand for as a political party is that of the American people? What a joke. What a disgraceful performance last night from the Democrats. You know, as we watch things and as we've watched things unfold over the last couple of weeks and months, really since the election in November, I really am surprised by what we're seeing. Obviously, the Democrats, well, they're not in favor of Trump. He's the Republican. He won. He beat them. He beat their awful candidate in Kamala Harris. So no surprise there. But their attitude, the way in which they are being, the way in which they are acting and operating now that he has won is unbelievable. I mean, I really didn't think that Democrats would go this low. And by the way, it's not just Democrats in Congress. Here's MSNBC last night after this took place. This is how anchors on MSNBC describe this. Again, a 13-year-old boy who survived brain cancer. Not good enough for the Democrats. Try harder next time. What a disgrace.
But I think this was a lesson in finding one thing that you let yourself feel. And I let myself feel joy about DJ, and I hope he's alive for another, 95 years, yeah. Right? And I hope he lives the life he wants to live. He wants to be a cop. He knows what he wants to do. And maybe when you have childhood cancer, that crystallizes for you. And I hope he has a long life as a law enforcement officer. But I hope he never has to defend the United States Capitol against Donald Trump supporters. And if he does, I hope he isn't one of the six who loses his life to suicide. And I hope he isn't one who has to testify against the people who carried out acts of seditious conspiracy and then live to see Donald Trump.
I mean, Jesus Christ. It doesn't get any worse than that. I hope this young 13-year-old boy doesn't commit suicide. Can you imagine? Folks, the Democrat Party is in a full-on implosion right now. I was pretty sure that that was happening before. I had a pretty good grip that the Democrat Party was imploding. I think last night and the reaction to Trump's joint address really proves and cements in stone that the Democrats are in a complete and total free fall right now. They have no messaging. They have no ideas. They have no policies. They have no platform. Nicole Wallace from NBC News on MSNBC last night, hoping a 13-year-old boy doesn't commit suicide. You couldn't find any other way to just let this live as it was. You couldn't just say, man, I'm so proud of him. What a cool moment. What an honor to be recognized. You had to go into some January 6th suicide diatribe. What is wrong with these people? They are so deranged and mentally ill. This is the Democrat Party. When you're arguing with Democrats, this is what you're dealing with. This is what you're arguing with. These people do not live in reality. They live in an alternate universe. They not only could they not stand for DJ and clap for him, all that he's been through, but then you've got Nicole Wallace, the partisan hack that she is, talking about, well, I hope he becomes a cop, but I hope he doesn't kill himself. I mean, seriously? Does it get any lower than that? Does it get any more disgraceful than that? Props to you, MSNBC. You guys are really banging away here. This is the kind of coverage that the American people want to hear. So I've played Trump. We've heard from him. You've heard from Democrats like idiot Nicole Wallace, who is concerned about those issues. What did the American people think of Trump's speech? Well, here was a flash poll from CBS YouGov. Views of Trump's speech, 76% approve, 23% disapprove. Margin of error, 3.5%. That's the views on Trump's speech. Very popular. A message of optimism. A message of bringing back American exceptionalism. Of bringing back freedom. Not in regards to, not necessarily in regards to, sovereignty and freedom, but freedom to operate your business. Freedom, he talked about cutting bureaucracy. For every new regulation, 5 need to be cut. Allowing businesses to operate. Allow parents to make decisions about their schools, about the children, where their children go to school. Protecting young females as they attempt to compete in sports from dudes who are pretending to be women. Bringing back American exceptionalism. And when it all ended, making America great again. Democrats are in opposition to that viewpoint. Democrats do not want to make America great. They do not want you to live in a prosperous nation. They want you to struggle. They want you to be reliant on the federal government. They don't want you to operate your small business. They want to be a roadblock at every single turn because they are infatuated with control. They need control at every level and every step of government. Irregardless of whether it's good for you or not, they want control. And they will do anything in their power to get it. Last night was a great night for America. It was a phenomenal speech from President Trump. He hit on the issues that were important. He touched on the variety of issues that resonate with the American people. It was a fabulous speech. The Democrats could not put their partisan nonsense aside. The Democrats decided to yell and scream and get kicked out of the chamber. I've never seen that happen before. A member having to be removed. That's what happened last night. Al Green claiming it wasn't a mandate. What an awful look for the Democrat Party. I mean, optically, just devastating for the Democrats. Trump knows what he needs to do. He has surrounded himself with people that can execute the plan, cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse within the federal government, putting the Democrats in line, putting them in check. They have no idea what to do. Their backs are completely against the wall, and all they can do is yell and scream. And then go on MSNBC and, for whatever reason, have to bring up suicide in regards to a 13-year-old that survived brain cancer. Doesn't get any lower than that. Doesn't get any scummier than Nicole Wallace and MSNBC. What a disgraceful performance last night. Props to President Trump. Props to his team for putting a phenomenal speech together. I feel great this morning. Listening to it last night was phenomenal. Replaying it for parts of it for you this morning, great. America's back. That's what President Trump opened with, and I feel it. I think the most of the American public feel it. So you guys can continue. You Democrats can continue yelling and screaming, hooting and hollering about Trump. The American people are leaving you guys in droves. So bravo. Congratulations. You're continuing to dig yourself a bigger hole that I'm not sure you're going to be able to get out of. So that's our recap on President Trump's joint address last night. While we were on this morning, we're talking about some of the severe weather earlier this morning. We do now officially have a tornado watch in effect for southeastern North Carolina. It includes Pender, New Hanover, Brunswick, Columbus counties, from Charlotte all the way here to Wilmington. This is in effect until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Taking a live look at radar this morning, a very strong line of showers and storms are making their way through the Charlotte metro area right now. Those showers and storms will continue to push eastward, and there is now the risk with this tornado watch, of some tornadic activity this afternoon. I've heard even over my headphones, the wind is already starting to pick up here as we're a few minutes here past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. So be advised if you're going out and about today, some nasty weather moving into the area. Make sure you have a way to get warnings and alerts as they come through. Just a quick programming note. We are back here tomorrow morning, but I am off on Friday. We've got traveling out of town for a wedding, so a no-show Friday morning, but we'll be back with you tomorrow, including yours truly. I got a shout out last night from the Wilmington City Council, Councilman Kevin Spears. I'll have that clip coming up for you tomorrow morning, plus the news of the day and more. Thanks for joining us on another edition of the Nick Craig Show. We're back tomorrow morning live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great and safe Wednesday.